Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the life of Christ through the Gospel of Mark. In this account, we have the miracle of Christ feeding the 5,000. Of course, some passages of the Bible are differently recorded concerning this miracle. Some have certain words, some do not have, but in the Gospel of Mark, you find that it is very rapidly written, one event after another, for emphasis. That's what you find in the Gospel of Mark. It is short, but whatever that is recorded, it is recorded in quite a good amount of detail, and with every detail, you find that it is very fast in its explanation from one part to the next part to the next part and to the conclusion. That's what you find in verse 34. He began to teach them many things, and then straight away you have the account of the miracle. And immediately after the miracle, verse 45, Mark wrote and said, and straightway he constrained his disciples, go do to the next event, and the next event, and so on. Very fast pace. You find the life of Christ related to us and explained to us in the Gospel of Mark. And this afternoon we're going to focus on food, a very, very important topic in a Singaporean diet. Singaporeans are well known for eating, right? Some would not mind driving across the causeway in the middle of the night to eat in Johor. Isn't that true? Food, taste, we all delight in it. Of course, there are some who will simply eat to live, but there are others who will live to eat. These are the food connoisseurs. Their taste buds are especially sensitive. You let them taste a particular dish, they can tell you exactly what ingredients you have used to put into it. So food is something that we enjoy. Food is something that we long for. And we have been taught since birth that without food, you will die. And so before salvation, food was the most important thing in our lives. And so parents will encourage children to work hard, so that you can get into institutions of higher learning in order to get very good jobs. Without a good education in Singapore, it's very hard for you to get a good job with high pay so that you can have a luxurious life. You can have all the food you want. All the days of your life on this earth, it will be all taken care of. That was our focus. It was the most important thing in our life as unbelievers. But after salvation, you must realize and understand that the material world will suddenly become the least important. And that is what Jesus Christ wanted to teach the multitude through this miracle. They were following him because of his other miracles, because of his teaching. People are all very curious by nature. Why not? Why not follow this great master who can do genuine, sincere, true miracles? To see him open the eyes of the blind, to give strength to feet and legs that have never walked before, to be able to see him cast out demons, why not? And so they followed him. By word of mouth, Christ became more and more famous, and more followed him. And so, on this particular occasion, when the day was now far spent, it was evening time. Very soon, the day was over and a new day was about to begin. Remember, they begin their day at 6 p.m. His disciples noticed this, and so they brought this matter to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And so the disciples made a very accurate evaluation of the situation. And they also propose a very genuine, sincere, normal solution. They don't have the money. Even if they have the money, where are they going to find the shops and the stalls to buy food? And so the best thing to do, of course, obviously, there were so many of them. We are told that how many of them at the end? 5,000 men. That's a lot of people. And it's only men, women and children not included. And so you have a huge throng of people numbering in the thousands, And there was no way they would have the funds to feed all of them. And so the natural solution to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the leader whom these people followed, send them off, send them home, give them time so that they can make their way and find themselves in villages and towns and wherever they are. Let them take care of their own meal. Let them take care of their own dinner. Let them take care of their own children's hunger. And so it was a very normal solution. There's nothing wrong with what they observed, which was correct, accurate. And their solution was also very, very correct. I mean, that's what you and I would say. That's what you and I will continue to do. Find for yourself a place where they can buy food. Send them away, Lord. And that's what they did. They were concerned about the food for the crowd, for the multitude. Are you concerned about the food for your children? Are you concerned about the food for yourself? I'm not talking about the food that you're going to eat later on at dinner time. I'm sure you have enough funds right now to take care of your dinner, and so we do not worry about that. But the people in those days, they do not have monthly wage. Monthly wage is a modern day 20th century invention, perhaps. In the Bible, you find that most people, especially those who are workers, it's on a daily wage. That's how they think, because that's how they were paid. That's how they live. And so they may have enough for today, and they are very thankful, and so they go to work for their daily wage. And at the end of the day, they know that they have enough for tomorrow to give to their family. Now, whether they're going to have the food for the day after tomorrow, it depends on tomorrow. When they go to the market in the morning, they're going to queue up and wait together with the rest of their colleagues and rest of their companions and see when the landlord comes to the market whether they will hire them to work in their fields, to take care of their animals. So they just hope and wait that they will be chosen. If they do not get chosen, then they will have to go home empty-handed, or they will wait the whole day. Maybe they'll wait until afternoon time. Maybe they realize that they need an extra worker and you could be the one. And they might wait even right up to the very last moment of the end of the day, just before 6 p.m., maybe right up to 4 p.m., hoping that they will be chosen. And if they are chosen, even working for 2 hours, maybe it will be enough to feed the family for tomorrow, at least one meal. That was the way of thinking. That's the way of life. Worry about food. For you and for me, we have now been brainwashed into thinking in terms of month because of the monthly salary. So you plan in terms of a month, you save in terms of a month, you give your offering in terms of a month. So this is not the way of the scriptures. This is our modern way of thinking. And because of that, perhaps the problem and the issues of our life is a monthly size. As opposed to the people who are paid on a daily wage, their problem is a day size. They will think about whether they have enough for the next day for the family. So maybe they may not have enough, and so they have to go home and tell the wife and the children, today dad did not get any job, I'm so sorry. You may have to fast. You may have to just simply drink water, and that's about it. There is no saving. There is no food. Let us pray and see whether dad can get another job tomorrow, and then perhaps we can have a meal. The daily wage is enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's it. That was their way of life. That was the way of thinking for the majority of the workers. Of course, if you're a landlord, it's different. If you're a rich man, it's different. But to the normal people, most of them will think in that manner. And so their problem is on a daily size. Your problem and my problem today is a monthly size. And then with modern way of thinking and education, we don't worry and think about our monthly problem. We think about problem that is in the future. And so you have planners who will tell us, they are called financial planners, who will study and evaluate your present work status. And then they will do some mathematical calculation using some formulas that they have learned from universities or from polytechnics. And then they will tell you that based upon this formula, you must save so much every month. If you are going to work from now until you retire at the age of 60, 63, or 65, This is how much you must save, so that by the time you retire at age of 65, assuming that you will live up to the age of 80 or 85 for another 20 more years, you will have so much money in your bank account with the present day interest rate, and then you may continue to maintain your present standard of living. Right? And so not only do you carry a burden of providing for your family on a monthly basis, which is a huge problem because it's the size of a whole month, now you add on to the monthly size problem your entire future until you drop dead at the age of 80. This is our world. And so when the topic is worry about food, that may be putting it very lightly. We don't worry about food. Sometimes we are depressed because we are afraid that we might have no food. True? And that's why we are so afraid of losing our jobs. We are so afraid of not pleasing our big boss. We are so afraid of not kowtowing and keeping our mouth shut for fear that we may offend people above us, that we may get fired. So much so that we are prepared to obey the voices of our bosses more than the voice of God in scriptures. Because we are afraid that if I were to lose my job now, imagine the huge problem that I have, and then my financial planner had told me that I cannot lose my job. If I lose my job, my future is finished. How am I going to provide for my future? Sure, I may have enough savings to see me through the next 6 months. But then beyond that, that's it. Not only for myself, my wife and my children, we're all going to suffer. We may end up without a home because I've not finished paying up my home. A home that you and I should not be living in anyway because it is beyond your normal amount ability to pay. You want to live beyond your means because you want to talk like the neighbors, talk like the other Tans and Lees and Joneses or whoever. Because they live in this kind of condominium private housing, and so must I, in order to rub shoulders with them, in order to let them think that I'm just as successful as them. You have been living beyond your means. And all these will add to your so-called worry about food. True? We are children of God. First and foremost, based upon verse 35 and verse 36, don't think in terms of the way of the world anymore. The way of the world may be logical. The way of the world may be what we have been doing. The way of the world may look and sound good. But know your Heavenly Father. Know your Heavenly Father. They want to give Jesus Christ advice. They studied the situation as if Jesus doesn't know. They give a solution to Jesus Christ as if he is just an ordinary teacher like you and like me. Send them to the villagers so that they can buy and feed themselves. You think your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, will do that to us? After he has saved us and turned us from sinners to saint? You think he is going to just simply go to his room somewhere in heaven and then just simply turn his back on his children and then let them do things on their own? Go by the way of the world. Go by the way of logic. Go by the way of human reasoning and the human physical body. And then God doesn't know. God doesn't care. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know that the Lord Jesus Christ is never, never caught by surprise. They fail to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ knew about the problem and he already had the solution even before the disciples came to him to tell him the problem and to suggest to him the solution. Don't tell God what to do concerning the purpose and the witness that he has entrusted to us on this earth. Remember that this body of ours does not depend food and water to survive if God so determines it. God can use, and God will continue to use, food and water to keep this body alive when he so chooses. But please do not think that God cannot keep this body alive without food and water. If you think that way, then you do not know who Jesus is. You do not know who God is. If you think that way, then God is, how is he different from us? How is he different from my father on earth? How is he different from your boss? If you think that God's hands and feet are all bound, like yours and mine, that without money we cannot buy food, please do not think and imagine God to be like us. That is to make Christ into our own image. These observations and solutions of the disciples may sound very innocuous and innocent. Sure, I'm not doubting their sincerity. Oh, the observations were correct. But it's not the observation that I had issue with. It's the one whom they brought the observations to. Don't they know the Lord Jesus Christ? Had the Lord Jesus Christ not demonstrated enough of his power as God incarnate on earth to let them know that what is this problem about feeding a few thousand people when God can do all those miracles that they have been observing all this while up to this point of Christ's ministry? Know who your heavenly Father is. Know who Christ is. Know them well so that you will stop thinking like the world and begin to think like God, and don't put God into a box and stop creating God into an image of our own doing. That is to limit him. The more you do not study the word, the more you're going to tend to make Jesus Christ into your own image. And that is our struggle and that's our challenge. And in many cases, the challenge has turned into a problem. You think your boss is the one who gives you your job? It's God, it's Christ, it's not your boss. You think it is your boss that is keeping you in your company? It is not your boss, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Don't forget that. There are so many things that can happen to you and your company if not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your boss can work very, very hard. And when the economy busts, the world calls it depression, right? Global depression. Companies have wound down. Banks have gone bankrupt. Your hard work, your diligence is useless when such things happen. And so you think that it's just, that's it. It's the way of economy. There will be up, there will be down. That's how economists will explain it. Because I heard that on BBC. When it was a time for those years or months of depression. This is the cycle. And very soon it will pick up. Don't worry, it will pick up. There will be up, there will be down, there will be up, there will be down. Where is the hand of God? Don't take God out of the equation of your life. Know him. They don't know him, and that's why they presented the problem and they presented the solution. To whom? To you and to me, we understand. But you and I, we are not Christ. He is God Almighty. He is not just a man here on earth. He is not just a great teacher. He is not just a prophet who can do miracles. He is God himself. And you want to present this problem to God? God created the world out of nothing. What is feeding a few thousand men, women and children? Easy. But to them, it was a humongous problem that they had no solution. And so the Lord had to teach them. And so when people like us who are children of God worry about food, it is a reflection of the fact that we do not know who our Father is. I'm not talking about our earthly Father, our Father who art in heaven. We really do not know who he is. And so in order for us not to worry about food, you have to know him. If you're truly born again in Christ, that is the beginning. Now you need to study more and more of scriptures in order to know him in a deeper manner. Because if you don't study the scriptures, your knowledge of him will continue to be very, very minimal, and you will probably not know him the way that he wants you to, in a very intimate father-child relationship, whereby he wants to hold your hand and he doesn't want your hand to let go of his hand. But when you do not know him, you do not want to even hold his hand, and you have been walking alone, trying to fight and provide for yourself and for your family all on your own. When the Lord is right next to you and his hand is just outreach, and you have been ignoring his hand because you have been ignoring the word of God. You don't understand the power of God Almighty, the love of a Father who is ever loving and who has all the power at his disposal. Know him. It will help you not to worry about your monthly problem and your future problems. Whatever the size of the problem is, know your Heavenly Father. It will be the beginning of the removal of your worries, because otherwise it will lead to depression and it will lead to illness, and you're going to be a tragic, tragic example of a Christian that never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that to yourself, and please don't do that to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that you carry with you everywhere you go. Know your Heavenly Father. Verse 37 to verse 38. Know your limit. Know who you are. Now you watch. And then he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. What kind of solution is this? Give ye them to eat, Jesus said to them. Provide them food, in other words. And then they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? They don't have the money. That's the amount that they estimated that was needed to feed the thousands of men, women, and children that had followed the Lord Jesus Christ to the evening hour of the day. And then Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, well, 5 and 2 fishes. Now we all know that this is the lunch of a little boy. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's it. Not huge loaves. 5 tiny little loaves. It's supposed to be the meal of a little boy. So it's not going to be a huge amount. Very little. That's all that was needed. Know your limit. Know your Heavenly Father who is infinite, unlimited in his resources, in his help, in his power. But know how frail and how limited you are. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ asked them, what do you have? Oh, all we have is just the lunch of this little boy. That's it. Know your limit. Because once you know your limit, it will help you to lean more upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who do not know how limited they are, how finite they are, how weak they are the people who will be arrogant and proud. They are the ones who will not pray. They are the ones who will not lean on God because they think they are very smart. That is the problem with people who are very smart. Too good, too smart for themselves. Have you ever met students in class who are very, very brilliant? Here you have an average student who is struggling to keep up with the studies. And so he will work very hard. He pays very close attention in class to every word that comes out of the mouth of the teacher. And then he will make sure that he will get his homework done on time. And he will study and he will pore over his books of the books. And he'll spend hours studying in class and at home. And to make sure that he will catch up. He will know what is happening in class. And in contrast, you have this high IQ, brilliant student. Doesn't have to study because he has photographic memory. Before the teacher could complete the sentence, he already knows everything about that subject. He doesn't have to study very hard. He hardly pays attention in class, and probably he feels as if he knows more than the teacher. And when he takes the exam, he aced it easily, no sweat. The average student tries his best and spend hours and hours, and the best he could do is just a B. That person aced it all the time. Year after year, year after year, year after. Too smart for his own good. Such a person will continue to lean on self. Because he has never failed in his life. Things come so easily to him. Everything has been offered to him on a silver platinum plate. Everything comes easy. And so when he enters into the working world full of pride and arrogance, he will continue to make a life for himself. No time would he ever pray. He doesn't know that he is such a limited person. He thinks he has everything. Know your limit. A person who knows his limit will know his weakness. And a person who knows his weakness is a person who will begin to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think God did not use Moses when he was 40 years old? Moses was full of self-confidence. Moses had everything going for him. Educated in the palace of Pharaoh's daughter, he knew all the very, very, very important people in the government of Pharaoh. He had all the connections that you could ever hope or imagine to get things done. And so he was full of self-confidence, and so he tried to protect his own people, the Hebrews, by killing an Egyptian. He tried. But God said, that kind of Moses I cannot use. That kind of Moses will never pray. That kind of Moses will lean on the arm of the flesh. That kind of Moses will continue to lean on himself. I can't use that kind of Moses. And so God had to send him into the wilderness for the next 40 years of his life. He became a nobody. But all his connections have passed away. But all those high society friends that he had have forgotten about Moses. And Moses' self-confidence begins to vanish because all his connections have gone. What does he have left? Just an empty Moses with very little self-confidence. And that was the kind of Moses that God says, I would use. Now I know he is ready to do my will, to take my people out of the land of bondage. And so God called him. And Moses' first question to God revealed how bankrupt of self-confidence Moses was. So God said, I'm going to take my people out of Egypt, Moses. Moses said, fine, sure, go, good. But the next statement of God shocked him. I want you to lead them. What? Who am I, Lord? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? God said, that's correct. It's not who you are, Moses. You must no longer go in your name. It's who I am. You must now go in my name. But who are you, Lord? I am that I am. And that's the kind of people that God will use today. Sure, it's good to know your Heavenly Father, but also know your limit. All your clever IQ, all your skills and experience that you have on this earth, they are useless. All your high connections that you have as a CEO or whatever friends in high society that you rub shoulders with, they are useless. And if you think that you can use them to do the work of God, remember Moses. God wants people who are bankrupt of self-confidence in order for them to gain and experience God confidence. And that's what Moses learned through the 10 plagues, little by little, bit by bit. And that's what we need too today. And that's why if you are a very clever person, you need to humble yourself and to know your limit. Your IQ and your high society is useless in the fight against the spiritual forces of the devil. He laughs at you. He mocks you. What he is afraid of is the spiritual weapon, the Word of God. What he is most afraid of is your dependence and your prayer life before your Heavenly Father. That he is afraid. Because if you pray, he is fighting not against you, but against God. Because the wisdom that God gives to you, the help that God renders to you, Satan can never defeat. That's why know your limit. Know who you are. We are natural people who are only wise in the things of nature. The moment you become a Christian, God says, you now have your eyes open into the spiritual realm. And everything that you use to lean upon and depend upon that is of the natural world is useless. And that's why God says to us that now you are born again in Christ, which means now you are a spiritual person where the Spirit of God now indwells you. And therefore now you're in a spiritual battle whereby the arm of the flesh must now be put aside because they are useless in the spiritual realm. All your money and all your connections in high society, they are now rendered overnight, instantaneously useless in the battle for the faith. Know your limit. Your money and all the connections you have, they are useless. You need Christ more now after salvation than ever before. Because now your eyes are open, you should know better. Before salvation, you didn't even know anything about the spiritual realm. But now you must. Know your Heavenly Father, and then know your limit. Because without Him, not only can we not do anything, we are nothing. But with Christ, we are Christians. We are everything to Him. So know your limit. Without Him, we cannot do anything. And that's what they have? Very little. But that's all God needs, that very little. The little gift that God has given to you, the little strength that you have, give it to the Lord. The little life that you have, give it to the Lord. And the Lord can increase it and multiply it. And God can turn that weakness, that little, into something that will provide a great blessing to others. So know your Father in heaven. Know your limit. And know the blessing that could be yours. If you know your Father, if you know your limit, the blessings that could be yours. Because if you do not have the first two, you go your own way, the blessing will not be yours. Now you watch. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. In what order? Well, in ranks, in numbers of hundreds, and in numbers of fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, now he grouped them up in a manner that is orderly, that is organized. He doesn't want to allow a mob-like behavior to arise. Okay, once you group them up nicely, so they will wait patiently, group by group, the disciples will go from group to group. Now, there were only 12 of them. All right, there are thousands of them. Imagine if they were not divided into groups of 50s and 100s, if they were to queue up, imagine how long the line would be. There would be thousands. There would be chaos. So he controlled. He knows, Christ knows the makeup, the mindset, the behavior of human beings. So he grouped them up so that they can be organized. Just like when you go to the airport to check, you see all those little queue lines, right? So that they want to control the queue, so that people all with the luggage, those who come early, they will queue properly, those who come later, they know where to stand, so that there will be order, there will be no fighting and quarrel. I come here first, you come here. Everything all organized. You see that? So Christ is doing the same. He knows the makeup of man, and so men also know, and so Christ definitely knows. And then he took the five loaves and the two fishes. He looked up to heaven for the benefit of the disciples. Remember this. And then he blessed. He thanked God for these five loaves and two fishes. He broke the loaves and he started to distribute. He gave them to the disciples and then asked them, pass it on. And then he did the same for the two fishes. He divided the two fishes among them. And then as he continued to give out the bread and the fish, continued to give out, the disciples took and kept on passing, kept on distributing. He continued to give, kept on distributing, kept on passing. And they all started to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until everyone was, wow, so full. Not just eat, taste, hiya, I want some more. Not like us. Until enough, stomach full already, so nice. And then not only were they full, the Bible said, the disciples ran around and then they started to collect the extra. And then they brought back 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Now these are not fish bones, huh? These are not just simply crumbs. These are extras. That means they were fed and fed and fed until cannot eat anymore. And so when these groups of 50s and 100s were given more bread and more fish, they say, I cannot take anymore. Nobody wants anymore because everybody was filled. And then they started to collect. And then they put into baskets. And there were 12 baskets full. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Just a quick number of the men alone. 5,000. Imagine the women and the children. So there were definitely more than 5,000. 12 baskets full. Know your father. Know your limit. And know the blessings. That with the meal of a young boy handed over to the Lord Jesus Christ, God can turn it into a meal that could feed thousands with extra. Don't worry about food. Trust in the Lord. Commit your life to Him. Stop focusing on food and the physical realm. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about anything that is physical. Let God take care of that. You just focus on your spiritual well-being. You just focus to make sure that the life that you're living here right now is holy, so that when the devil were to turn your life upside down, he will find no skeleton in any closet. And that can only take place when you genuinely, sincerely repent of all your sin and surrender your life to the Lord. Don't worry about food. Worry that you do not live a holy life. And give your life over to the Lord and let the Lord do that miraculous, wonderful work through you. When you go to school, your friends will see that you are special. You are different because you are in Christ. When they see you at work, you're also different. You are special. Because you don't care about promotion. You don't care about bonuses. You care only about your holy witness for Christ. You help everybody. You even help those who try to sabotage you. And they are stunned and they are shocked by this kind of love, this kind of behavior. When there is a rumor of retrenchment, you are at peace, you are calm. Because you know, if the Lord wants you to be in that company, nobody can remove you. If the Lord says it's time for you to go, you don't want to stay one second longer. The Lord has another place for you to continue to witness for Him. Regarding my physical needs and well-being, whatever the Lord give, you just give thanks. If the Lord says, today you fast, today we fast, we give thanks. If the Lord provides me with a dollar, I thank God for that dollar. You never use more than 90 cents. 10% goes to the Lord. Teach your family, never spend beyond what you have. Never be in debt, except the debt to love everyone in Christ. Your life is so rich, your life is so full. Before salvation, food, water, the material world means everything. We were motivated by more material things. But after salvation, that which used to be most important now becomes the least important. What is now most important is eternal. The souls of men, women, and children. The honor and the glory and the image of Jesus Christ in my life. All these are now paramount. And this must occupy your heart and your mind. And leave to your Lord Jesus Christ to take care of what food and what drink He knows you need. He knows your family needs. Trust Him. He never fails. Know who your Heavenly Father is. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. Know your own limits. And know the great blessing that He has planned for you when you surrender your life to Him, trusting Him. Don't worry about food. Lean upon your Savior. He takes care and He never fails. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us not to worry, O Lord, for we live in a world where the voices of the world continue to affect us, to cause us to lean more and more on the arm of the flesh and the things of this earth rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be good students of Thy Word, that we may know Thee better, that we may learn to trust Thee more, that we may have a deep and intimate relationship with Thee. Help us also to know our own limitations, so that we may never lean on self, but always upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For our understanding is limited, it is folly, but the word of everlasting life is eternal, is the word of God. But we have the mind of Christ when we have the word of God in us. And help us to surrender our lives to Thee, O Lord, so that this tiny little life that You have redeemed with Christ's precious blood may be used by Thee and turn it into a blessing to many in things eternal, at home, in school, and at work. For this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. Thank You, Lord, for such a wonderful life and a wonderful salvation that You have given to us. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.